your Bible, your cell phone, your laptop, your desktop, whatever you got. Let's say it by faith. Hold it up. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. I boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I will never be the same again. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you turn with me to the book of Revelation, chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. Could actually go to a number of verses in chapter 2, chapter 3, because at the end of each of the messages to the church, I just want to read what the Holy Spirit captured. Beginning at verse 6, it says this: "Whoever has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." In verse 13, it says, "Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches." In verse 22, "Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Would you bow with me in a word of prayer? Father, we thank you again. We just want to say we do not take it for granted at all that in this country we have the freedom to drive to church, freedom to carry our Bible, freedom to worship, freedom to pray, freedom to spend time in your word. Father, we don't take that for granted because we know there's a day coming when every nation on the planet will hate your followers. We pray today for those believers in the nations which don't have those freedoms. Those that are hiding out in homes, those are hiding out in bushes. Those who keep the word hidden so that nobody can find it because there is a price to pay, often with their life. God, that is so far removed from our experience, but today we lift up those members of our family. We release blessing and protection over them. And today we give you glory for the freedom that we have. I thank you, Father, again, that your Spirit all down through time has been speaking to your church. And I want to say thank you, Father, for last week, the time that we had to sit, to listen, to soak, and to hear. And Father, I thank you that as you release those words and as we look at them again today and next week, I thank you, Father, you have prepared our hearts for what you have said to this church. Before we begin, I ask for a fresh anointing. Holy Spirit, would you literally possess me again, my mind, my mouth, every part of me? I ask today that you would flow through me, that I would only say those things that you are wanting to say. And with the authority you've given in the name of Jesus, I bind up every demonic bird that would seek to snatch the seed that is going to be sown. I bind up the spirit of unbelief and doubt today in Jesus' name. And Father, as your word goes forth, would you give us the heart and the faith to believe? And as we do, to be changed by it. And so in advance, we say thank you that you are still speaking to your church. Today, we will listen. In the powerful name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen. I have to tell, well, first of all, I need to say, I'd like to introduce you to my new weapon. I know that some of you have been asking and looking and talking, and so I laid down my old sword this past week, and I picked up a new sword. And so I'm just getting used to it. It doesn't fit good in my grip yet. I know how to wield the inside better than the outside, but I just want you to see my new sword today, and you can stop praying for me. Thank you. And I decided not to use duct tape, so we just went that direction. Some of you as well are very aware that yesterday was the last day of Wiseman's Way. Wiseman's Way closed up after how many years that we've been here and you've been here. And so had opportunity to go in there a couple days beforehand as they were clearing everything out. And as you know, right, the way of the bookstore is dying. We saw Blessings in Edmonton shut four of their stores, and then eventually the fifth one closed, the big one on 51st Avenue. That one closed up. Parables in Red Deer, totally downsized. Not sure if they're still alive, but bookstores all across are closing up. And we live in a day. How are we getting our books today? Amazon. It's really true. Okay, that's just the day we live in. And so it's kind of a different shift. I'm kind of the old-fashioned type. I'm still the kind who goes to the bank, to the teller. I don't know how many of you are like me. I'm not on online banking. And they look at me so weird all the time. The day's coming, and can I just tell you, the day's coming when you walk in personally, they're going to charge you. We've already talked about that. They're going to put a $3 service fee for walking into the bank, using the teller, and making it free for online. So I just want you to know straight up front, I'm believing for the rapture before that happens. Because I do not want to pay a $3 service fee. Or I might be forced to go online, but I don't trust it. I really don't. A couple years ago, 10 million accounts out of CIBC were hacked, and all the information was taken out. And there was about 8 million that were taken out of Toronto Dominion a number of years ago. They were hacked, the information. Now, the good thing is, I'm not important enough for my information to go to the higher levels and be used. Some of you are, but I'm not. But even though I'm not at that caliber, I'm not there yet. So the whole concept of going to Amazon, I'd rather walk into Wiseman's. I really would. But the truth is, they're gone. And we've moved on to another generation. I just learned to text 3 years ago. Can I just tell you that? I just learned to text. So some of you asked me the other day, do you text call? I do text. I want you to know this, though. How many of you are in Facebook? How many of you? Yeah. It's really interesting. A couple years ago at the Believers Conference, Creflo Dollar talked about the fact that he was on Facebook and he did all this stuff. A couple years ago, he said, I pulled Facebook. Just so you know, he goes, I am no longer on Facebook. He says, if you're looking for me there, you won't find me. That's another one of those things. I got to just tell you, I don't understand people when they're driving down the road, they stop at a service station, go to the bathroom, they post it on Facebook. Okay? I don't understand that. Okay, we're just going there. But I'm not on Facebook. So I'm just telling you that I'm not in online banking either. I gotta tell you, so this morning and next week are going to be interesting, and I want to lay this down because in the 25 years that I have been here, we have never done as a church what we did last week. In the 15 years before that, I've been in ministry for 40 years, 17 years of age when I got saved, 2 weeks later went to Bible school, began ministering in Bible school all across Canada and the States, speaking, singing, so have been in ministry for about 40 years. Have never done what we did last week in church. Have never done that. Have never had a time where we have said, God, we want to hear what you're saying to this church. Not Philadelphia, not Thyatira, not Ephesus. We want to hear what you're saying to Solid Rock. Now, I want to say a couple of things before we get into it. Last week, for those of you, how many of you were here last week? You were here? Just raise your hand. Yeah, the majority of us. You know that last week we broke it up and waited on three things. Number one, we threw a banner over the church and we said, God, show us what's on the banner. We want to hear what you're saying to this church. That's what we're going to talk about today. Next Sunday, the second thing we did is we said, God, we want to hear from you what it is you are wanting us as a church to believe for, to begin declaring and step into in this next year. So we're going to do that next week. The third one we did is we said, God, we want to hear what you're saying to us individually. I want to tell you straight up, I'm not going to have any of you share what God laid on your heart, but I want to tell you, it was amazing after the service and this week, how many of you came to me and said, Call, that time of waiting for the Lord to speak into my life profoundly impacted me. The Lord said things to me that shifted things. The Lord said things that clarified. I heard the Lord in such a profound way. They said, thank you for providing that time for God to speak that stuff into my life. So I know that many of you were powerfully impacted. I just want to say this too. I know there are some of you last week as we went through and spent those three times listening. for some of you, you felt like you were on Mars. For some of you, it was probably the longest 45 minutes that you have spent because it's not a part of your life or your pattern or your practice to shut everything off and go, I'm tuning into the voice of God. For some of you, you're still not even sure which is his voice, which is my voice, which is pepperoni, which is the enemy. You're not sure yet, okay? And that's where we all begin. I understand last week was tough for some of you. But I want to tell you that I believe God uses those uncomfortable moments to plant something and go, you know what? I want that. I want to be able to hear with clarity. I want to be able to stand up and go, thus saith the Lord, and be able to share that out with a confidence and a boldness that Moses had, that David had, that anybody else had, to go, I want that in my life. And so I'll just tell you that I believe that God used some of the uncomfort in some of you last week to begin to plant a hunger of God, I don't want to miss out anymore. I want to be a part of what you're doing. I want to hear what you're saying to the church. I'm a part of it. I want to hear it. So I just bless you for allowing us as a church to go there. But I want to tell you, in my 40 years of ministry, have never done that before. So this past week, I did something I've never done before either. I got to tell you, I love the word. God planted in. We were talking yesterday at men's group about getting to the point where the Spirit of God just plants inside of you a love for the word as a new believer, 17 years of age. A couple things that happened right off the hop. One of the first thing is God got hold of my tongue and all the vulgarity disappeared overnight. And the second thing is he planted inside of me a love for his word that hasn't gone away. I love the word. It's kind of why my Bibles end up looking like they do, other than the fact that I step on them all over the world when I preach on them. But I got a love for the word. And I know God is planting inside of you a love for the word. But I did something this week that I have never done before. And I got to tell you, it was absolutely amazing. I want to thank all of you who wrote down what God spoke to you last week. Some of you shared it. The majority of you didn't, but you captured it. You put it to the front. All week long, I have been able to immerse myself in the words that the Holy Spirit spoke to you and through you last week. So I first want to say thank you for all of you who listened, who captured it, who brought it to the front. And this past week, I have spent the entire week going over and over and over, not the Logos word, which I love like crazy. I spent all week looking at the Rhema word that you captured on paper. And you got to know, it was absolutely so weird, because as I was reading through those, the Holy Spirit kept reminding me, Colin, this is my word for solid rock. These are my words for solid rock. And I found myself almost at a point where I handle this word with a reverence and a love. I got myself to the point where it's like the Holy Spirit was going, Colin, these are my living words too. Now, I don't know if you can relate to that, but I'll tell you, this was an interesting week for me. And what I was doing is I was going through it. I first wanted to hear what the Lord was saying. And then the Lord began saying, Carl, you need to go back. You need to take some of what I said on that banner. And you need to take what I said as far as what you as a church would believe for. You need to make that known in the body, because there is going to be a shift. I want to tell you ahead of time, and I want to make this really clear. Everything that I'm going to share today and everything that I'm going to share next week is not my words to you, is not me boasting about this church. It is not me trying to pump anything in you. I want to tell you that all my role is going to be is I'm going to share with you what the Holy Spirit spoke through you, and I'm going to do it as humbly as I can. I'm not going to hold back, because I want to tell you there were some amazingly powerful words concerning this body that came. I'm not going to shrink back. I'm not going to be ashamed of them. I'm not going to be concerned that someone's going to take them and go out and go, man, that Pastor Colin thinks that that church solid rock is whoa, whoa, whoa. No, just get it right on the tape, the whole deal. I'm communicating, I'm echoing what God said about this church. I'm humbled by it, but I'm blessed by it, and I'm believing you will be too. If I had my way, I would have an angel walk in here. I would have Jesus walk in here. I'd have them take the podium. I would sit down. They would take those words and say, you need to hear, church, what the Father is saying to you as a church. And I think it would come with a different authority. They're not here. That's my job. But I want you to see it that way. I don't want you to hear what I'm going to say as coming from me, because this is not coming from me. The second thing I need to tell you is that how many of you know that at times God will tell you something that he believes about you that you don't believe about you yet? Has that ever happened? Have you ever had a father who looked at his 13-year-old daughter and she's got pimples and zits all over the place, and he looks at her through the lens of love and goes, you are so beautiful. And she goes, Dad, how can you say that? Haven't you seen this and that? And you think, like, your beauty has to do with your zit? No, your beauty has to do with the love lens I'm looking at you through. Can I give you a great biblical example? Can I just say it really clear? Where was Gideon when God came to him? Where was he? He was hiding out in the wine press, right? Judges chapter 6, you can go there, you know it. Gideon is hiding out in the wine press. The angel of the Lord, some think it was actually Jesus incarnate, one of the four times before he came, met Gideon in the wine press, came down to him in that place when he's tromping out grapes in the wine press. He looks at him and he says, mighty man of valor. And Gideon looks around and goes, who are you talking to? Right? Let me say this, inside of Gideon, he did not see himself as a mighty man of valor. But can I ask you a question? The way you see yourself or the way God sees you, which one is true? You've heard me say it before. There was a period of time in my life when I looked at me in the inner picture of me, I saw me as unlovable. And yet when God looked at me and told me about me, I was in crisis. Either I'm going to believe what I've always believed, or I'm going to believe the one who's never lied, the ultimate authority. And it began a process of changing all my beliefs, bringing them into line with what the Father said, because everything he said about me was true. And what I realized is, if I believe something about me that he hasn't said, I'm deceived. Have you ever had God look at you and go, you are so beautiful? Okay, sounds really weird as a man. But as a man, I'm his bride. He looks at me, and I'll never forget the first day, he looked at me and said, Call, you are so beautiful. I got to tell you, it was like hearing Mighty Man of Valor. I looked around and went, who are you talking to? He goes, you! Then he said lovingly, get your belief in line with my word. Until you see yourself as beautiful, you're deceived. So I want to say this to you. You're going to hear some words this morning that God spoke to us as a body, because as a church, we had ears to hear what the Spirit was saying to this church last week. You're going to hear some words and you're going to look around and go, who is he talking about? But I want to tell you, really what we need to do is bring ourselves in line with the way the Father sees us, even if we don't see ourselves that way yet. Gideon finally got to a point where he believed that God wanted to flow through him and use him as a mighty man of valor to tear down idols and to deliver his people. He finally got there. Can I ask you a question? Do you believe that if we as a church could get to a place where we actually believed what God said about us, that we might actually accomplish some of the purposes that he has for us? So I'm going to tell you straight up front, there's going to be battle going on here today. Some of you are going to have a hard time believing what I'm going to share, that God shared. Some of you are going to have a hard time believing it. In fact, some of you, I want you to hear this, you're part of this church, so hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Everything I'm going to tell you, the Holy Spirit is wanting you to look at you and go, he's talking to me. He's talking to me. I'm the church. He's saying this about me. And some of you are going to go, Obviously, God don't know me. Can I just tell you straight up front? He knows you better than you know you. I will never forget the day when the Lord said to me, "Call, it is not how your parents saw you. It is not how your wife sees you. It's not how your ex-spouse sees you. It's not how your teacher saw you. It's not how the boss who fired you sees you. It's not how those friends down at the restaurant see you. That does not determine the truth of you. The truth of you is found in my face and in my words. Get to know them and let that truth shape you into who you were meant to be in the beginning." I want to tell you what you already know. I had to come to a point as a pastor. It's not what you say about me that determines the truth of me. I had to be set free from your words and your opinion and your attitude about me as well. Do you know why? Because I've had people in this church who love me and they would give their life for me. I've had people in this church who hated me and would love to take my life. And I've had everything in between. Can you imagine if I let what people think about me determine how I see me? I would be a little bit, what's the word? Schizophrenic. I had to get to a point, and so do you, where it's not your words about me that determine me, it's God's words. It's not my wife's words about me that determine me, it's God's words. And let me tell you straight up, it's not the enemy's words about me that determine me, it's God's words about me. So I want to tell you, it's God's words about this church that are going to determine this church. You are the church. Every one of these words, I want you to go, he's talking about me, not Colin, God. God is talking about me. When he gives this word, he's saying, oh my goodness, Colin is... Are you hearing me? I am going to break down all that came, and I'm just going to share 15 with you today. And I'm going to take about 2 minutes with each one, maybe 2.5, I might press it. But I'm going to drop them down. I'm going to have Jeff shoot them on the screen as I do it. None of these are going to be exhaustive. I'll tell you, as I was going through it, I would have loved, I went, Lord, I would love to take a Sunday in each one of them. He goes, I know. But he goes, my church will take those words and they'll do it on their own. And I went, that's awesome. That saves me a lot of work. So I want to challenge you this morning, if you would capture these 15 words from the Lord concerning this church, and I'm going to challenge you in this next week to take them and to immerse yourself in the presence of God and go, God, just speak to me. You're talking about me. These 15 words are from me, from you. I'm the church. This is what your spirit was saying to the church. I don't want to miss this. So, if you have a piece of paper, pen, whatever you got, bulletin, I encourage you to write these down. Because these came last week through you from the Lord. These are no particular order. I want you to know that. There is not one that is any more important than the other. Number one is not less important than 15. 15 is not more important because I'm ending with it. None of them. I'm just putting them out there. I just wrote them down, put a number beside them so we could capture them. But I want to share them with you. And again, I want to tell you, I share these incredibly humbly from the Lord to this church, and I am submitting myself to the truth of them. And I ask you to do the same. Would you write down number one? Would you write down the word welcoming? And I'm just going to fill it in 2.5 minutes. Would you just write the word welcoming? I want you to know the difference between a church that when people walk into feel welcomed by and one that they don't feel welcomed by. We've all been at a church where we walked in, the usher at the door greeted us, we came in, we sat down, we got up, we left the church. That was the last encounter that anybody ever had with us. Nobody came and said hi. Nobody asked us our name. Nobody gave us a hug. Nobody did anything because they were all consumed in their own little church, little circles, all these little huddle groups that everybody comfortably fits into. They walk into the church, they walk out, and the father's going, hey, my family is warm. My family's welcoming. You caught us on a bad day or a bad year or a bad decade. I want you to hear when the Lord said last week, and it came from so many of you, one of the words the Lord said on the banner, he said the word was welcoming. And I got to tell you, when I went into the Lord and I said, God, just flush that out. One of the first things, do you remember the picture of Jesus standing at the door knocking? Revelation chapter 3, do you remember that picture? Can I just clarify that for you? That is not an evangelism picture that an unbeliever is there. Jesus is knocking to get into the door of an unbeliever. That is a picture of Jesus standing in the door of his church, knocking to get in because that door is closed. We've been there where Jesus is outside of churches knocking on the door to get in. We've been there. But when I said, God, this word welcoming, you threw that on the banner for so many of you who put that word on there. I said, God, what's that? He goes, call. He says, you need to know that I'm not on the outside of that door knocking. You have opened it wide. You have allowed me to come in. You have welcomed me, first of all, and that is what made it so that you welcome other people in my name. I just stopped and began giving God thanks. Can I tell you what it's like to be a pastor in a church where people welcome the presence of God, they welcome the Spirit of God, they welcome for Him to move outside the liturgy or outside the bulletin? Can I tell you what it's like to pastor that kind of a church? Scary and exciting. Because I walk in here every Sunday having no idea where we're going to go or what's going to happen. All I do is I go, Holy Spirit, you lead me, you've been faithful in the past. I'm out of my comfort zone here, but you're my comfort zone. But I do want to say this. I have heard over and over and over down through the years when people walk in that door, they've never visited us before. They come with family. They come for a baptism. They're wandering. They're looking around at churches. They walk in. I stand at the back, and some of them will wait. Some of them try and sneak around me. I catch them. But some of them come to the back, and they walk in. They walk through. I give them a hug on the way out the door. They go, Pastor Call, you need to know I've never been in a church so warm, so welcoming. Can't tell you how many people came up, gave me a hug. They welcomed me. They talked to me like I really mattered. They made me feel at home. Guys, you need to know that. I see that. But more importantly, the Lord threw that on the banner. You need to know that as the church, the Spirit of God is saying to you, you are welcoming to Jesus and to the new. If you don't see yourself that way, the Lord is looking right at you and saying your name. You are welcoming as my church. Would you write down number two? This one stopped me as well. Would you write down the word faithful? I want you to think for a moment. Sometimes the understanding of faithful comes better when we look at the other. Some of you have been on the end of a relationship where your partner has been unfaithful to you. And as a result of that, you have experienced a wound that is deeper than any human was ever meant to experience. Can I tell you, in the Garden of Eden, there would have never been unfaithfulness, ever. And Jesus made it really clear where he goes, it's not just when someone sleeps with someone else. Unfaithfulness is when you're walking down the mall and your husband's eyes are gazing at all these other women. That's unfaithful. Unfaithful is when your wife is captured by a romance novel and reading about all these lustful, hot scenes inside the romance novel that are absolutely not real at all. You can be laying beside your spouse and they'll be unfaithful in their heart, unfaithful in their mind in that moment. The power of unfaithfulness can absolutely destroy a person, destroy a marriage, destroy a family. But when God throws on the banner of a church, his body, his family, and he goes, you are faithful. I just had to stop. I had to let it sink in. Because really, what Jesus was looking at, us as his bride, we are his bride. We have opportunity to be unfaithful. We have an opportunity to prostitute ourselves. We have an opportunity to go to idols. We have an opportunity to give our time, our money, our attention to all kinds of... He said, you as a church, solid rock, you are faithful. I said, God, I'm glad you see us that way. Make me that way. Make me in every area. Make us as a church in that way. Make us the way you see us. Would you write down number three? The Lord said, this is a place of peace. I got to tell you, it came from so many, but the one that came, it was shared last Sunday, that where the Lord showed this person a banner that was spread over top of the whole, spread over top of the whole church, and written on that banner, and it was beautiful. It was in Hebrew that said, "Peace to my people." And then they said that out of that banner, peace was just flowing down from the banner to the people that were living in it. I don't want you to answer this question. Have you ever been part of a family where there has been no peace? Have you ever been in a church where there has not, that peace isn't present there? We've all been there. So when the Lord looks at us, the solid rock, and we're saying on the banner, what are you saying? He looks at you, go, this is a place of peace. Can I tell you how profound that is? How special, how unhuman, how more than natural that is? God is allowing us to taste something during this season, and I believe it's this season because of what's coming. When you can be in a church and a family that has peace, you go, you can't buy that at Walmart. And can I just say this? When we are surrounded by a world that is going to be in turmoil, a world that is in brokenness, a world that is experiencing everything but peace, when they hear about and walk in and discover a place and go, are you serious? There's actually a church that's not in strife. There's a family where there is no sibling rivalry. There is a place where actually peace is dripping down and filling all the members. Do you think that might be attractive to a world that has none? Can I just tell you what the Lord said to us? He goes, church, solid rock, this is a place of peace. And he would look you straight in the face and go, you're my church, you're my bride, you're a place of peace. Would you write down number four? Would you write down the word sign? A word came in. It said this church is a sign, like God's bulletin board, example to all of God's love and compassion, will draw into the church those who don't know him. I remember a number of years ago, God began doing a work in my life, and I remember the Lord saying to me, Carl, if every believer was like you, how would the world be doing today? Can I ask you that? If every believer was like you, how would the world be doing today? Can I tell you what I did? I said, oh, Jesus, church is in trouble. Some of you are saying exactly the same thing. I got to a place and I went, oh, I'm so glad that most believers are not like me. I'm so glad that there's people out there who actually share their faith. They're not embarrassed about the name of Jesus. People who actually know how to worship in private, so when it comes to public, they have the... But really what it did to me, it stirred me and go, God, make me the kind of person that if every believer on the earth was like me, the church would be okay. A word that came in and said, solid rock, you are a sign. You are a flashing sign for the world to look at, a sign that says, love found here, compassion found here. You're flashing out there in the world. You are a sign of God's love and compassion. Is that true? It's only true for one reason. You know why? Because he said it. Because he threw it on the banner. I'll be honest, this is one of those. I stopped and I went, God, I looked around. I went, God, you got to make us what you're saying. He's going, Colin, you already are. The church already is. Would you write down number 5? This was powerful, tied right in. Would you just write down city on a hill? And I want to read what came. It was spoken last week, but I want to read it because I believe this is a rhema word. It said, you are a city, solid rock, you are a city on a hill. The eyes of Camrose are watching you because you're different. Again, this is the Lord's word. You are not a church bound by religion. You are marked with freedom. That word freedom came on the banner over and over and over last week. That word freedom on the banner just kept coming up. But this is the word the Lord said, the eyes of Camrose are on you. Now, can I just say this to you? Just want to pull back really quick. How many of you know that as a pastor, you live in a fishbowl? How many of you know that? How many of you know that when I buy a vehicle, everybody in Camrose is asking me, oh, you bought another vehicle, did you? How many of you know I can't sneeze without people finding out I sneeze and there's people opposed to me sneezing? How many of you know that when we moved out to the acreage in 1999, I went to our church leadership and said, this is what we're believing. They said, absolutely go. That means you want permanency here. I went out there. You can't believe the flack that we received in this community for a pastor, oh my goodness, who's supposed to be a poverty spirit, moving out to an acreage. And then when we built our home, going, holy smoke, who do you think you are building a home like that? I want to tell you as a church, I bless you that you understand that in the wintertime we take our holiday. But can I tell you, outside, people looking at the fishbowl are absolutely ticked off that Jane and I go away in the winter for our holiday. They're totally ticked off. Totally ticked off. First of all, we shouldn't have enough money to go on holidays as a pastor. Don't you know that? Can I say that to you? Second of all, we shouldn't live in a nice house. And third of all, you darn well not better be driving a new vehicle. Well, here's the crazy thing. The word of the Lord said, solid rock, you're a city on a hill. I don't want you to hide. I want you to put it out there. I want people to see my blessing. I want them to see while I'm pouring out my goodness. I want them to see the favor on you as a church. I want them to see my goodness to my kids in that church. I want you to be a city on a hill. I want you to be shining brighter. I want you to be doing it in such a way that everybody looks at you and go, I want a father like that. I love Jesse Duplantis. Some of you don't like him at all. I really couldn't care. I love it when he makes this statement. He goes, I'm not boasting. I'm bragging on God. Really? My kids experience a blessing from mom and dad, and they go to school, and they should live embarrassed and hide it in the locker because they don't want anybody to see mom and dad's goodness in their life. Are you serious? Yes, I am, because religion has taught us that for years. Can I say this to you? When you're living in right relationship with God, I don't care about living in a fishbowl, because really I don't care about people's opinion. All I care about is if God gives me freedom to do anything, I'm going to do it. And whether you like it or not, big deal, as long as God likes me. I don't stand before you on Judgment Day. I stand before Him. Can we get there as a church? Where we go, God is saying, you are a city on a hill. I want everybody to look at you. I want them to see the light. I want them to see what's going on. We can stand here without shame, without embarrassment, and go, look at us. Do you remember when we had the Y campaign here, and I was handing out, there was some guy came up, he got the book the day before. He comes up and he holds the book and he goes, man, these are expensive. I go, they sure are. They're good quality. He goes, how much are they? And I said, well, I said, they're about $40, $50 a piece. He goes, you guys are the only church doing this? I go, yeah, only church. He goes, you guys must be wealthy. My response was B. I said to him, God provides when he gives a vision. What I should have said to him, I should have looked back and said, no, we're not wealthy. We're stinking wealthy. Isn't it amazing when God does good things, most of us are embarrassed to say it? I believe God is changing that. He threw it on the banner and said, church, you're a city on a hill. Everybody is looking at you. the cameras is looking at you. Get used to it. Live in the fishbowl. Just be obedient to me and let me do my thing through you. Would you write down number 6? Would you write down spiritual hospital? This one came a number of times. It was amazing. For the sick, for the oppressed, hurting people, feeling the love and acceptance in a dying world, people coming in here. One of the words was a heart transplant institute, an agape healing center, a place of deliverance. It just kept coming over. God's going, call this church. I'm setting it up on a banner. You are a place where people are going to come and be healed. They're already happening. It's going to happen more. It's going to happen more. Spiritual hospital is a good picture, isn't it? Would you write down number 7? Would you write down a place of great love? A place of great love. Here is one of the statements that came, and I had to write it down. It just hit me. Where the Father said to the church, he goes, my love poured out through you. My love poured out through you. Can I tell you what went through me? Before his love could ever pour out, the first thing, I have to be filled with his love. We talked about the other Sunday. I got to be filled with it. After I'm filled with it, I have to come to a place of loving me. And once I'm full in loving me, now I'm at a point where I can begin to pour it out. All that hit me when I read through that is going, God, are you bringing every one of us to the point where we are living in the fullness of your love and we all love ourselves? He goes, yes. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church today. You're going to encounter my love, and that love is going to change you and bring you to a place where you actually love you and you are free to be who God made you to be. I said, okay, God, I receive it. I believe with you on the banner of this church, you're going, Solid Rock is a place of great love. And I'll tell you what came back to me a number of weeks ago where the Lord laid on my heart, preached on it 2 weeks, where God said, I want this to be a place where my children love one another deeply. Do you remember that? Can I ask you bluntly? I heard it 3 times this week in different circles. I heard it 3 times. People go, when I went to that church, they wouldn't bury my so-and-so in the cemetery because we weren't members. I went to that church. I made a mistake. They judged me and they kicked me off the board. I went to that church. I heard wound after wound after wound after wound. I remember when someone said, one of the most difficult people to convert is someone who's been wounded by the church. When someone wounds you in the name of the church, when they wound you in the name of God, holy smoke, it's like if God wounded me, screw you. You think I'm going to give you another chance? Can you imagine? When you talk to people about their church experience, all they do when they walk in, they walk out and go, I experienced great love in that place. Can you imagine running into somebody and go, tell me your church experience? They go, I'll tell you my church. I went to a church. I experienced great love in that place. Do you think that's the heart of the Father? He's going, Solid Rock, on the banner, a place of great love. I said, let it begin with me. Would you write down the next one? The word strategically located. Strategically located. That was on the banner. Handpicked by God. In a place, and I want you to hear this because it came and it clarified as I went through all the words. It was in a place for a purpose. Camrose, Alberta, Canada, world. Encampment of the Most High in North Central Alberta. Thousands and thousands of angelic ministers to be employed awaiting their commands. Changing the local platforms, provincial platforms, national platforms, international platforms. The statement was, Solid Rock is going to affect the world. Whose words? Whose words? Don't you walk out of here going, man, that Pastor Colin really puffed up Solid Rock. Not my words. Get that straight. Can I ask you this? Can we see ourselves and begin to believe that what God wants to do here on the banner of solid rock could actually literally impact the climate of our world? Could we actually believe that? Can I tell you, if he can take 11 men and turn the world upside right, he could use a church that will hear the voice of his Spirit and be obedient to his leading. We're going to talk about that next week. Just for the sake of time, would you look at the next one? Would you just write down the word solid rock? Solid rock. Oh, no, I'll do that one after. Yeah, let's do goose. Write down goose picture. They're very similar anyway. This was so beautiful, and I'm glad it was shared last week so you could hear it. But the picture was, they were talking about geese flying in the V formation, right? And the head goose is the one that does most work because it's breaking through, the other ones are coming behind it. So the whole picture was the breakthrough goose, the one that is going to go ahead against all the resistance and breakthrough in order to bring about. And this was the statement on the banner. They were going, solid rock, you are the breakthrough goose. Now take that as a compliment, would you? So what he's saying is this, and it came out very specific in that word, solid rock, you will be the breakthrough church goose that is going to break through with all kinds of resistance in order for the revival and the renewal that is needed to come. You're going to be the breakthrough goose. I just stopped and said, okay, God, if that's what you're saying about us, make us that. He's going, you already are. I want you to see yourself as the breakthrough goose. No, I don't. God does. God does. I want you to look that up. I want you to study that. Would you write down number 10? Would you write down the word prosperity? I know for some of us, including me, 25 years ago, if someone would have mentioned that word in the church, I would have kicked them out. We've come to a point where we recognize the heart of God for his children is to be prosperous, for us to be prosperous as a church. And this is what it wrote down. Prosperity came up over and over and over and over on what you submitted, what the Lord laid on your heart. Prosperous individually and corporately. And one of them was very clear. It's going on the banner. On the banner, the Lord wrote, I'm releasing a wisdom to prosper. So can I just say this? This is the, you've heard me say it before, this is the least quoted statement by Kenneth Copeland. After they finish stoning him, they find out he actually said it, and then they would have removed the stones. But he goes, financial is the lowest level of God's prosperity. Can I tell you what the highest level of God's prosperity is? When you have an intimate living relationship with the Father, are you prosperous? I can take you to countless people who have all kinds of money and they're absolutely in poverty in relationship with God. When your marriage is a 9 and 10 out of 10, can I tell you, you're prosperous. When your children are walking with the Lord, you are prosperous. When you have relationships that you enjoy life with and you're fulfilled, you're prosperous. When you have work that you're doing that is fulfilling, you know that you're accomplishing something in the kingdom, you're prosperous. I will never forget the day when Sylvester Stallone, after doing all of his Rocky movies, and he just finished one of his fresh divorces with that blonde Russian lady. Do you remember her? They were married for about a year. On one of his interviews, he goes, I would give all the money I had if I could have a healthy marriage, live in a small little house with a white picket fence. Do you know what he was saying? I'm not prosperous. He's going, I'm loaded, but I'm not prosperous. God threw on the banner of solid rock, looking at this church going, prosperity. My bride will never be in rags. My bride will never be in poverty. My bride will never be in want. My bride is prosperous. You are prosperous. Now see yourself as prosperous. Believe for prosperous. Jane and I were talking the other day. When we were raising our kids, long before we had any amount of money, we looked at our children and said all the time, we go, guys, we're wealthy. Let me tell you why we're wealthy. You guys have a mom and dad that love each other. Never been a day you went to the table without food. We've got great friends. You guys have grandparents. We have a relationship with God. We live under his blessing. Guys, we are wealthy. Our children were raised with a wealthy mentality. Yes, they're all going to become millionaires. Yes, in the financial realm, they're all going to reach that financial prosperous level. But can I tell you, they were prosperous long before they got the money. Imagine being a part of a church that God looks and says, you're prosperous. Not, let's have a stewardship drive because we can't pay our light bill next week. Would you write down the next one? Almost done. Would you write down angelic protection? This was amazing how many times the angelic theme came up there, but it was thrown on the banner. And really, one of the strong pictures, it said this. God showed on the banner, there is a shield, there is a force field over solid rock protecting us from the designs of the enemy. Do you think it's good for us to know that as a bride, that we are shielded and protected? Can I tell you why we might need to be? If we start walking in the things of God fully, do you think there'll be some resistance? Can I tell you why the majority of believers don't ever want to enter into the battle? Because they don't want to deal with the battle. They don't want to deal with it. They want to be in the bleacher watching everybody else play the game. But can I tell you, we sat the other day and watched Jarek and Emily play their basketball game. They got on the court. We were in the sideline. I so bad wanted to get out there. I wanted to take the ref out, first of all. But it was odd. And who sits on the sideline going, oh, I'm more content on the sideline? You know what? We're made to be in the game. Some of you have seen it. I haven't seen yet. Some of you have told me over and over that when I'm up at the front, you have seen my angel behind me, this towering thing. I'll tell you, I live with the belief that I'm surrounded, protected. You try and touch me, he'll take you out. You wouldn't be the first. I love being part of a bride that has God's protection. I think we need to start living like it. We'll talk about that next week. Would you write down the next one? We're almost there. Would you write down the word Goshen? This is a powerful word. If you don't know what it's all about, it's when the people of Israel, 70 of them, came to Egypt after Joseph was there. Pharaoh said, give them the best land. Joseph went, I'll take you down to the land of Goshen. Can I tell you, 400 years later, when they were delivering them, darkness fell on the land of Egypt. There was a line just like this. On one side, it was totally pitch black. They couldn't see a thing. On the other side, it was totally daylight. They could see everything. When this side over here was filled with gnats and grasshoppers and all of the curses, on this side, there wasn't a single one. Can I tell you what divided it? One line. Is it possible this could be totally bright and this totally dark? Yes. You know what it means to live in the land of Goshen? When everything else is cursed, we're under the blessing. When everything else is dying, we're in life. When everything else is dark, we're in the light. Goshen is the land and the place of God's blessing. God threw up in the banner and said, solid rock, you are a Goshen. I receive that. I challenge you to study that out. Have a look at it. It is profound and powerful. Would you write down number 13, three left? Would you write down the word roaring lion? The picture of roaring lion, here's what came with it. A forceful sound, a sound of authority, taking dominion. Can I tell you something they said about Jesus when he was on earth and they listened to him speak? They went to one another and said, we have not heard anybody talk with that kind of authority. When he went and dealt with people who were demonized, he spoke a word and those demons left. They went, we have never seen someone function with that kind of power to deliver people, to remove all the demons. We have not seen that kind of authority. Can I tell you what God is saying to us? Church. You are a force. You have a roar. You function in authority. You're taking back ground that the enemy had stolen. I'll tell you, if I ever had to be part of a place that was retreating, I'd go look elsewhere. Because the Father we have, the authority he's given, and the power that he has given to you and I, we are to be stepping into darkness, having the light take all of that ground. We're to be stepping into darkness, having the light take all of that ground. We're to be stepping into darkness We sing it, but I'll tell you it's real. Darkness flees. Darkness flees. I love it when I walk into rooms sometimes. I love it when I walk into rooms. You can just see. I told you that time on the cruise when Jane and I were on there one time. I walked through the casino. She went to bed. She was pregnant. How does that happen? She was pregnant. She had to go to sleep. So I wanted to go to the chocolate buffet. Let's just get it out there. Chocolate fountains, right? They have that. Some of you know that. So I had to walk through the casino. So I'm going through. Never been in a casino before. Never watched gambling. So I stop here. I look over here. Here's a blackjack table. The dealer's facing me. The guys are sitting around the table. I'm standing here probably from here to Reg. I'm standing just looking at this thing from a distance. All of a sudden, the guy, one of the guys at the table, he turns around. He looks straight at me. He goes, "Will you get out of here? You're messing up my game." I said, "No problem." But I walked out of that with a revelation going, the light inside of me screws up the darkness. We've heard the story where Christians walk into fortune tellers and they can't read the fortunes. They go, "Will you leave because you're messing up all my readings?" Of course I am! God is saying to us, Saul of Rock, you're a roaring lion. You're a roaring lion. He's looking at you individually, looking at you going, "You are a roaring lion." Don't turn around and go, "Who are you talking to?" No, no, you're talking to me. If I'm not that, make me that. Would you write down number 14? Two to go. Would you write down the word mature? Threw over the banner of Solid Rock and said, "Solid Rock, my church, you are mature." Can I tell you this? As I waited on the Lord said this, a body that is mature rightly handles the word of God. They know how to pray. They know how to declare. They know how to heal. They know how to encourage. They know how to share their faith. They know how to save. They know how to defeat the enemy. They know how to quench the fiery darts. They know how to walk in the freedom of truth. Here is really what it's saying is they're mature, which means this. If I put a sword in their hand, they can wield that sword. I stopped it when God. I'm glad that's your word. We as the church are mature. Can I just say this to you? You want to grow to maturity of wheeling? I think what I can say clearly is just hang out in this place because that's what God is about. Not where 3% of us wield it and all the rest hide behind it and going, "Holy smokes, we're going to be slaughtered if they're not there." No, you put a sword in any one of our hands and go, "Bring it on. I don't care who you are. Bring it on. I wheel it in my home, and I wheel it in my marriage, and I wheel it in my business. I wheel it with my kids. I wheel it in my church. I'm going to wheel it in the community. You bring it on. I'm mature in the faith." That's His word in our banner. Would you write down number 15? Would you write down the word solid rock or rock? I got to tell you that the image on the banner of a huge rock that had streams flowing out of it, living water going out, people being in the rock. I got to tell you, I don't know how many there were. There may have been over a dozen people came in and had almost an identical image on their banner. The picture was this, is that we are tucked into the solid rock of God. We come out of that and streams flowing from the solid rock. We talked about that some time ago, going out into the community, into the desert world, and touching people's lives, and then bringing them back in to become a healing place, healing center, deliverance, and they tuck into the rock. God does inside of that rock, and then He begins to send them out as streams flowing from the rock. That picture was over and 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 over. About 3 weeks ago, somebody said, "Colt, I think up on this corner over here, we need to make a Disney-type rock with streams flowing down so we can see continually what God threw on the banner last week. We'll see." I think He wants the image here before it's up there. Can I ask you a question before we end? How many of you have ever been part of taking the time to listen to what the Spirit had to say over the church you were in? How many of you have ever done that anywhere before? One, two. Again, I want to say thank you for allowing us to go there last week. Thank you for allowing the Spirit to speak to you, the church, and tell you what He was saying to the church today. Anything good in those 15, guys? Dana, are you free or are your hands full? You're free? Could I have you come for a moment? Next week, we're going to talk about our second listening session. And that is about what the Lord is wanting us to believe for coming into this year. It's going to be good. Would you bow with me this morning for a moment? Father, in your word, it was captured that there are those people who look in a mirror, they see the image of themselves, they turn around and walk away, and they forget what they look like. The picture was there are those who have an encounter with you and your word. They receive it with joy. They even write it down. They turn around and they walk out. And it's absolutely forgotten. Never thought about again. Never chewed on again. Never read again. Never meditated on again. Transforming power of that word is absolutely stolen. I first want to say thank you, Father, again for last week. Thank you for laying upon our heart to take time and just to wait on you and to listen to what you have to say about this church. And Father, we want to say today that we receive those words from you. We believe those words from you. Even in the areas where we are struggling to believe that we are a mighty man of valor, because you said it, we are. And so I ask right now, Holy Spirit, that you would do what only you can do. I ask you would seal that word inside of everyone who has ears to hear in this body. Would you seal them? And would you bring us to a place where we see ourselves the way you see us? We believe about us what you believe about us. We begin believing the truth of what you say, not our experience, not what others say, what you say. I want to say, Father, we love being your bride. We love being your bride. And we love having you as our bridegroom. There's none better. And so we give you the freedom today. In whatever area of our life that you need to move and change and heal and deliver until you bring us to that point of seeing and being who you've said we are, we give you the freedom. Do whatever you need to do. It's by faith. Already we say thank you. We say thank you for the reality of all of your words in our life individually and as a church. Father, I ask you to begin to prepare our hearts for what's coming next week. as you have spoken over us and said, this is what I'm wanting you to believe for. This is what I'm wanting to have happen in you and through you. God, we're going to need you to prepare us. And so I release a grace over every person under the sound of my voice today, a grace that will prepare every heart, every mind. We don't want to miss a single thing you have for us. I declare over you what you already know, that the Lord has blessed you and he's keeping you. The Lord has caused his face to shine on you and he has been gracious to you. The Lord has lifted up his countenance upon you and he has filled you, dripping from the banner full of peace. He has made us a place of peace. I declare that with absolute confidence. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and Holy Spirit. And every person receiving said, amen. Have an awesome week. Be praying into next Sunday.